listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho.
Well, hello and welcome to the True Idaho News Podcast. My name is Daniel Bobinski. So glad you joined us today. We're here today with my co-host, Mr. Josh Gibbons. Hello, Josh. How are you?
Hey, Daniel. How's it going?
Well, I'm still on this side of the sod. I'm doing pretty good. We'll talk a little bit about that, my little visit to the emergency room today, or that what happened this past weekend. We'll talk about that. Also on our list of things to talk about is the governor's ball, which has got some interesting news on that, and some proposed rule changes for the GOP that went down in flames. We'll discuss that. And then, of course, today being Monday, the session has started for our legislators, our citizen legislators. And we'll talk a little bit about what's in store for that. So before I get too far, I do want to give a shout out to our brand new Triple Diamond sponsor. Here we have three of them now. And rather than talk about them all at once, I'm just going to talk about one. And that is Mike Hahn. We'll talk about him first. He's an associate broker with Home River Realty. Now, a lot of times that when you have gone to a realtor, when the real estate market is hot, everybody gets into real estate when the real estate market is hot. You want somebody who's been in the real estate industry for a long time, who knows what they're doing. Michael Hahn is the guy you want to approach. H-O-N is his last name. You can reach him at michael.hahn, that's H-O-N, at pm.me. His phone number is 208-939-9033. If you want to get things done correctly, if you want to find someone who has over a decade, probably a decade and a half of real estate experience, who really knows what he's doing, contact Michael Hahn if you want to buy or sell something. Real estate for rental, real estate for commercial, real estate for residential. He's the guy, Mike Hahn, 208-939-9033. We'll be mentioning more of our Triple Diamond sponsors throughout the show. Josh, hate to say this, but I guess I better address this sooner rather than later, because I know some people on social media platforms saw what happened. But I ended up in the hospital this past Friday night, Saturday morning, and I thought I should just take a moment to explain what happened in case somebody may have seen that I had gone but didn't hear what happened. So does that sound fair to you?
Yeah, please do.
So Friday afternoon, this past Friday, I was sitting at my desk. I'm sending out an email to somebody who had requested some information, and a little dizzy came over me. This has happened before. Dizzy comes, dizzy goes, half a second, it's there, it's gone. I'm back to normal. This time the dizzy hit and it did not stop. And it kept on coming faster and harder, and the room kept going really round. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm having a stroke or something. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And so I started screaming for help. My wife was meeting with somebody upstairs and nobody was coming. And I'm thinking, if this is a stroke, I don't want to be found at my desk, you know, hours later, passed out and have it be too late, because I know with a stroke, urgency is important. So I crawl down to the door of my office, and I crawl out my office door and I'm screaming for help. My wife and her friend comes. They give me some water. As long as I'm laying flat on the ground, I'm doing okay. And I'm wiggling my fingers and my toes, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't think this is a stroke, because I right, left, and I'm wiggling, and I'm getting it all. But I tried to make it over to my chair and I couldn't get up. And when I tried to put myself on my elbow, well, in polite terms, I vomited, realized that I was not going to get out. The paramedics were called. They came down. They tried to sit me up. I vomited violently when that happened. And at that point, they realized they're not going to get me out of the downstairs. So they called the fire department. They put me on the gurney. They took me down to the VA hospital. I'm a disabled vet. So I said, take me to the VA hospital. And they were great. For as bad of a rap as the VA hospital tends to get, the folks at the VA were awesome. They did the CT scan. They did the EKG. They did the chest X-ray. They could not do an MRI, though. It turns out that the CAT scan showed that I had some undeveloped veins in the back base of my skull, and they couldn't tell whether or not I had a slow bleed. And they didn't know if it was a stroke or an ear issue, so they wanted to rule out the stroke. So they sent me over to St. Luke's for an MRI because they have MRI people on staff 24/7, whereas the VA overnight and on the weekends, they don't. St. Luke was able to rule out the stroke, which means it was an ear issue. I was released on Saturday morning. I got home and I slept and I slept and I slept and I slept. And I've been able to get up on my feet maybe for 3 to 5 minutes before I start feeling dizzy. Saturday, Sunday, I've been able to stand up a little longer before getting dizzy. The medicine they've given me has helped. I'm getting better. Apparently, if I do some exercise, it's supposed to help speed up the healing process. But for those of you that may have heard that I was in the hospital, yes, I was. Yes, it was scary because I couldn't stand up. But turns out that this is actually a fairly common issue. I just have never had it happen to me before. I'd never even heard of it. And I'm now given the right drugs and given the right rest and whatnot. I should be doing fine here in a few weeks. So yay, yay. Big shout out to the VA people. And while I'm at it, Josh, I want to say that I was very disappointed in what happened at St. Luke's.
Really, what happened?
As much as they didn't make me, they weren't mask Nazis, and they weren't trying to force a vaccine on me or anything. I was very disappointed by the lack of communication that I saw among the nurses and the doctors. It felt very frenetic. I have been in 17 countries. I have been to hospitals in other countries, and I saw better communication and better care in third world hospitals than what I saw at St. Luke's, Maine, downtown Boise. So that was of concern to me, and probably would be of concern to other people as well. But to the VA, the people at the VA, which normally gets a bad rap, the nurses and the doctors at the VA were top notch. I was very impressed with the quality of care and communication that I received.
Good. I'm glad you're doing better. We were praying for you, so I'm just happy that you're doing better back home.
go ahead.
I was going to say, and surprisingly, doing a podcast this quickly.
Well, you know, it's kind of cool. I mean, here I am. You know, this is Monday morning, and I'm able to sit on my seat and sit up straight. And as long as I'm sitting, I'm okay because my brain's not having to do too much work this way. It's when I stand up that my brain's, you know, twice the tax load. And at that point, it gets a little bit woozy. If I'm sitting, I can sit all day long. I'm doing fine if I sit. So stand by, world. You may have, you know, threw me a little blow, but I'm not down. I'm back up and I'm coming at you. We're going to be speaking truth. And that's the mission of this thing is, you know, speaking truth. Speaking of truth, next on our list of things to discuss is the governor's ball. Now, I saw some pictures of this of some very libertarian people. When I say libertarian, I'm not talking about libertarian. I'm talking about people who love liberty, people who love freedom and following the Constitution as written. I saw pictures of them at the governor's ball, and that surprised me. And you said that was the more of the case than the establishments there. Tell me about that. What happened?
Yeah, so I wasn't there in attendance. I was tired and I chose not to go. But look, I talked to a lot of friends who were insiders there. And I've got to tell you, after the governor's speech, it was 11-1 was the count in favor of conservative liberties. So there was a substantial amount of conservatives there and the establishment just did not stick around. Now, did they go somewhere else? Who's to tell? But they didn't stick around there. But a lot of the people were reporting they had a blast, you know, great music, great company, and just had a lot of fun.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I do have to tell you, there was a little bit of fun that went around as well. I sent it to you, but I don't think you got it in time, but you're going to get a kick out of this. So handed out at the governor's ball were these little papers, and it said, Idaho Governor's Ball. Scan for the official Idaho GOP Governor's Ball after party details here. And it's got a little QR code. When you scan the QR code, it doesn't take you to where the after party is going to be, Daniel. It takes you to a website called IdahoRhinoWatch.com. You click on it, and at the top of the page, it says brought to you by Pfizer. And it goes through, and it says Idaho Rhino Watch. It's got Brad Little, Scott Bedke, Greg Cheney, Debbie Critchfield, Lawrence Wasden, and Trent Clark. And on there, if you click on each of their names, it tells you how much money they got from Big Pharma this last year.
This was being passed out at the governor's ball.
It was being passed out. You're going to get a laugh out of this as well.
Oh my gosh. That,
yeah. Not only that, I got a picture as well. In the women's bathroom was a wanted sign with Scott Beckey's face on it. It says wanted for trading Idahoans' rights for pharmaceutical donations. And it has two listings of donations he received just in December from Big Pharma, including Pfizer.
So this really was a mocking of what was going on. This was not just a celebration of the governor. There was some mocking happening.
Totally. You know, there was a lot of people who came from up north as well. I tried to do some digging to see if I could find out who created the website, because I got to tell you, a lot of times when these sort of things come up, some people assume that maybe I'm behind them. I was not behind this at all. I actually went and tried to search for ownership, but whoever has it paid to have their information hidden.
I love it. I love it. This is Idahoans being real, having fun, and not being afraid nor intimidated by the establishment powers. I love it.
Yeah, they went right into the belly's beast on this one. I mean, it was the governor's ball, for goodness sake. So you got to love that fighting spirit they've got.
Yeah. Amen to that. Amen to that. I love that idea. Well, that's good to hear. That means that we have social conservatives, people who love the Constitution, who are not afraid about standing up and getting their voices heard. And that's what it's going to take. Got to be bold. You know what? I'm going to shift quickly here to talking about the proposed rule changes for the GOP. But before I do, I should give another shout out to one of our Triple Diamond sponsors. And that is Brian Hay at Brian Hay Consulting, BH Consulting. He does computer repair. He can work remotely. He can come out to your house. He'll do house calls. If you need to reinstall some operating systems or get some software updates or get your system cleaned up, if you've got hardware problems, we'll take care of that too. bhconsulting.us. That's bhconsulting.us. Brian Hay, if you want to give him a call, his number is 408-529-1299. Brian is a Triple Diamond sponsor. You can find out more about how to become a Triple Diamond sponsor if you want to get a shout out on the show at going to trueidahonews.com/support. Brian has done that. He's a Triple Diamond sponsor, for which we are grateful. His phone number again, 408-529-1299, to get your computer needs fixed. What I'm talking about, though, here is moving into this bill. This, I shouldn't say it's not a bill. It's a proposed rule change for the Idaho Republican Party. And what they wanted to do was change it to how someone's name appears on the ballot in the primary. I am assuming you heard about this.
Yeah, it came out of the Bonneville GOP. Yeah, absolutely. I heard about it.
Okay. So for those of you who may not have heard about this, when I first saw this, I was dead set against it. I thought, this is totally wrong. And I'm going to write an op-ed coming out against it. And I thought, well, wait a minute, Bobinski, you're a journalist and you know how to look at both sides of an issue. So look at both sides of the issue. So I made some phone calls, talked to some people who've been in the Republican Party for a long time. And I listened very carefully and I heard both sides of the issues. And I see pros and cons as to why this rule was proposed. I don't agree with it. And I understand that it went down in flames. My understanding is nobody voted for it. Even the Bonneville folks who proposed it, my understanding is that they themselves abstained from the vote. So it's not going anywhere. But here's what they proposed. They proposed that if you wanted to run for office and be on the primary ballot in May, that you had to submit your name to one of the committees, depending on where you were. If you were running for a state office, you had to have a certain committee look at you. If you were looking for a federal office, the same committee, a local office, then your county committee had to look at you. And they had to interview you, and they had to decide whether or not you got approved to be on the ballot. And if there was more than one person, then they were to have a vote in the committee. And in that committee, if you got more than 60% of the vote, then you were the only name on the Republican primary that would appear on the ballot. And I thought, this totally takes it out of our hands as voters. Now, it has some pros and cons, and I want to kind of take a little bit of time to discuss them. I looked at that. This sounds just like Soviet Russia, right? you please the party, and then you get your name on the ballot. And of course, if there were two people who neither one of them got more than 60% of the vote, say one person got 59 and one person got, 41 kind of thing, then both names would appear on the primary. But that's it. The committees would decide what you got. So here's some pros and cons, right? You have this big effort right now by Take Back Idaho, which is, this is, Jim Jones. He's a former Idaho Chief Justice. He's a former Idaho Attorney General. He thinks he's got a bunch of, gravitas behind him because he was in these positions. But Jim Jones might as well be a Democrat. It just happens to have an R after his name, the way that he thinks and acts. He's consistently putting down the Idaho Freedom Foundation. He writes op-eds on a regular basis, dissing them. And what's amazing to me, Josh, is that if you look at the scores that the Idaho Freedom Foundation give, they're actually harsher scores than the American Conservative Union, or what, that's the organization that puts on CPAC every year, the big conference that everybody goes to. And you have to know that Brad Little and Scott Bedke, whom we know to be rhinos, these guys would love to get the American Conservative Union's endorsement, but they don't want to get IFF's endorsement. And I say it's because IFF doesn't have the same firepower that the American Conservative Union does. So they can, it's kind of like low-hanging fruit. They can take a swipe at them. They wouldn't dare make those kind of comments about the American Conservative Union. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Just to kind of unpackage that all a little bit, Bonneville, they had a great idea in mind, which was to stop Democrats from infiltrating the Republican Party. And look, it's great as far as saying, hey, we need to have it to where we are vetting people and making sure that they are true Republicans who will follow the platform. The problem is when you go to a different county, it may not actually be as conservative. Give you an example, right here in Canyon County, we are voting for people who do not follow the Republican platform, will not sign on to it, and we are electing them as Republicans. So then I get concerned because we would have it to where a true conservative at this point could not get on the ballot here in Canyon County. There is a way to do this that it would be effective, and that's looking at what they're doing up north in Kootenai County, right? Explain. They don't stop anybody from getting on the ballot as a Republican, but they will, as a committee, investigate the people, bring them up for questions, and then they will endorse somebody, and they share that information wide. That's the proper way to go about it. Say, hey, we sat down, we had a vote, we decided this was the candidate we're going to get behind. But the other candidates still have the opportunity to run on the Republican ticket. So that's really what a Republican's job is in the Central Committee, is to elect conservative Republicans.
But you bring up something very key, though, and that is you're trusting that the Republican Party in the Central Committee, that they are actually Republicans.
Yeah, it's dangerous to put that much power into a small group. We should be making recommendations, though. Now, going back to the Idaho Freedom Foundation part, the thing I love about the Freedom Foundation is that it's data, right? There's no emotion or anything like that behind how they rate these bills and how in turn the people who are voting for them are getting rated. With the Freedom Foundation, what's funny about it is you've got all these, lobbyists like at IACI, hundreds of them who are down there. But this little group that's maybe got five or six staff is all of a sudden the demon of Idaho. It's hilarious at best. It's completely ridiculous.
I couldn't agree more. But the idea here is that, as I said, IFF is more harsh on our legislators than the American Conservative Union. The ACU just came out with their ratings of Idaho legislators, and Idaho legislators for the 2021 session got great marks. A lot of them got great marks, much higher marks than the IFF gave them. And yet here they are smashing the IFF. This is Jim Jones. This is Bob Kustra, former president of Boise State University. And these guys, these two Joes, schmoes, are encouraging people to switch parties. They're telling Democrats to switch parties to vote for liberal Republicans. What kind of Republican, seriously, what kind of Republican tells Democrats to switch parties to vote Republican, unless you are really just a Democrat who happens to have an R after your name.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he is. He is a Democrat. Look, I'll tell you, a lot of times the Democratic votes come from certain districts, right? Where they're heavily Democrat, and we have, of course, heavily Republican areas in the state. What we need to do is we need to stop being reactive. We need to be proactive. If they want to take the fight like that, what we need to go ahead and do is start running real conservatives on the Democratic ticket so that they don't have it to where they can afford to say, well, we better switch, right? We keep them in their party by doing the thing that they're doing to us. I would actually advocate for that.
I would too. I would too. And I've actually heard that there are some things in the works that I don't want to go into in too much detail, but I would encourage people, if you're a Republican and you're not a staunch, you know, conservative Republican, and you want to mess with the Democrats' heads, go register as a Democrat and get yourself on the Democrat ballot. Give them something to worry about. Just mess with their heads. If they want to play this game, we can play that game. If that's the way they're going to play it, then let's play it.
Exactly.
But I want to also say that I have very little respect for these people who claim to be Republicans who are telling Democrats to switch over. And they're right in league with the 97% Project. This is Mike Satz's group. He was a professor at the University of Idaho. He is the guy who wrote the curriculum for critical race theory. He's a huge CRT proponent. And he is the one behind a lot of the effort. And him, by the way, and Greg Cheney seem to be sharing a lot of the same posts. They seem to be loving each other on Twitter.
Yeah, it's an absolute love fest between the two. So you know, it's funny, if I were to close my eyes and have you read me tweets from either one of them and ask me who wrote which one, I couldn't tell you. It's absolutely identical. It's insane.
And so for Greg Cheney to run around calling himself a conservative Christian Republican, when in fact it's the 97%, the proponents of left-wing thinking and critical race theory, et cetera, and you can't tell the dimes were the difference between the two of them, that tells the voters an awful lot.
Absolutely. You know, what's funny is this last weekend, we went out Saturday in Canyon County. We launched our Walking for Priscilla, talking to Trump conservatives who generally don't get out to the primaries, trying to get them to come out, right?
Good idea.
You know, what's funny is a lot of these people we were talking to, they're so awake. They see what's going on. And I'll tell you, some of them brought up Greg Cheney's name to me personally. I didn't bring him up at all. But when they were talking about Canyon County representatives who were not conservative, they brought him right up. So people are seeing through this.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, this proposed rule change, which again did not go through, was going to limit how someone got onto a ballot. And again, I was against it, and I'm glad it didn't pass, but I do see why they wanted to do it. I think it's, as it was told me, this is a great way to get the conversation going. What do we need to do to stop the leftists from crossing over and voting in the Republican primary? You might have a very good solution there, which is to get some good, strong conservatives to go run on the Democrat ticket, to get them to vote on their ticket and have them stay in their own party. If we're going to play that game, let's play that game.
Absolutely. If you know, I'll tell you, if I was in a district that it was Democratic heavy and that they won every time, I would absolutely register as a Democrat and run. And what I do is I keep them on their feet. I get them to where they panicked, right? You got to say little conservative things, just feed it in every once in a while. Get them really panicked that you could potentially win.
Yeah. Well, someone was telling me to wait until like the day before the close, especially on some of these seats that are going unchallenged, or, you know, you'd have just one Democrat running. And so they think the person thinks they've got a shoe in. You wait until like the half day, a couple hours before the window closes to when you can register, and then go register as the only person who's running against the particular lone Democrat. Now it's just you versus him. And now it's a fight. Now they have to focus their money there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hate to say it, I really do, but if we're going to play that stupid game, if they're going to play that stupid game, then let's play their stupid game.
Yeah. You know, I have a friend who lives in one of those districts. He's ran as a Republican, and he hasn't really put a lot of money in because he knows he can't win there. You know, statistically, it's just not going to happen at this time. I think he's considering switching to the Democratic Party.
Huh. So, interesting. Running. Well, let me take this opportunity to give another shout out to one of our Triple Diamond sponsors. Tom Lopak, picture perfect window cleaning. If you need your windows cleaned, if you need screen repair, if you need your gutters cleaned, power washing, Tom Lopak is your guy. Contact him at windowcleaningboise.com. Windowcleaningboise.com. His phone number is 208-401-6265. Once again, 208-401-6265. When you call, tell Tom you heard about it on True Idaho News, and he will give you 10% off your bill. Tom was our very first Triple Diamond sponsor here, and we are very appreciative of that. You know, speaking of being stupid, we hadn't planned on talking about this, but there was this issue of this gentleman, this teenage boy, who decided he was a girl, and he was going to run in this swim meet, and he ran against these girls in the swim meet, and I'm saying he because, well, he has XY chromosomes, and he won by a long shot. And all I've got to say is any human being that wants to tell me that this person has the right to compete with women is stupid. It means you don't know science. You do not know XY versus XX chromosomes, and that there is a huge physical difference between these two types of people. So if they want to have some kind of trans league or something like that, then create a third category. Let the men compete against the men. Let the girls compete against the girls, and let the trans compete against the trans. But stop having these guys who say, gee, I can't cut it as a guy and the guys races. Let me just say that I'm a girl and then I can go win some races. No, no, don't be that stupid to believe that kind of woke hogwash. Totally flies in the face of everything scientific whatsoever. It's kind of the woke thinking that I have nothing to do with. And I just, if somebody ever came to me and said, oh, this person deserves to race, I'm going, fine, create a third party for trans, but do not let that person compete with females in the female races.
Did you hear about Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire getting kicked off of Twitter?
No, did he?
Yeah, I got to tell you what the tweet was that he said. The greatest female Jeopardy champion of all time was a man. The top female, The top female college swimmer is a man. The first female four-star admiral in the public health service is a man. Men have dominated female high school track and female MMA circuit. End of the day, the patriarchy wins.
Oh, wow.
It's, you know, it's funny that he put that in. Obviously, it was a troll post, but, you know, look, it's true. There yeah. is a difference between men and women, and we have to recognize that. If we don't, we're living in insanity. That's what it is, Daniel. It's absolute insanity. To pretend that we're equal is just not the case. You know, if that's the case, let's just call it a day. Let's stop making a distinction between men and women, and then we can say, hey, you know, we're all going to college at a higher rate, when truthfully, women are going to college and graduating at a higher rate now. So we have to identify these things so that we can see the opportunities and also not limit people on opportunities based off of their genetic makeup. We want things to be to where people can compete and are encouraged to do things that are athletic and healthy for them. Yeah. But we have to live within the bounds of reality.
I am so heartbroken by these girls who just work and work and work, and they put forth so many hours into practice, and then some twisted individual decides he's a girl and he wants to compete, and he blows her out of the water for times, and she doesn't get any kind of scholarship or anything. It's sickening. And it is, like I said, it's stupid. And if that kind of talk bothers you, then this is not the right place for you, because that is science. It is pure science. It is not any kind of woke philosophy whatsoever. And if you want to follow science, then follow science. And that's how it works.
Yeah. You know, I went to Target last night. I got to tell you, the person who checked me out, he seemed like a nice young man, but he was, you know, covered head to toe almost. And I say that jokingly, but his entire vest was covered with buttons. And they said the weirdest things. Some of them said him, she, her, they, them, and then said trans activists, trans. I mean, there had to have been at least five buttons that said trans. And then one said homosexual militant. And I tried not to chuckle at that one, because I was like, you know, what the heck is a homosexual militant?
It's a contradiction in terms.
Yeah, I almost wanted to ask, but I was afraid I'd get 86 from Target.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. If someone ever pulls that stuff on me, my pronouns are going to be child of the Most High God and co-heir with Christ. So Amen. People are going to have to live with that.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Anyways, that was not planned. I just saw that on the news, and I thought I needed to say something about that. But Josh, thanks so much for joining me here on the True Idaho News Podcast. Quick shout out again to our Triple Diamond supporters, Michael Hahn with Home River Realty. That's michael.hahn, H-O-N, at pm.me, or reach him at 208-939-9033. That's 208-939-9033 to find somebody who really knows how to handle your real estate transaction. Brian Hay from BH Consulting, you got computer problems? Give Brian a call, 408-529-1299. He will take care of your problems remotely, or he'll come out to your house, doesn't matter. 408-529-1299. And also Mr. Tom Lopak from Picture Perfect Window Cleaning, windowcleaningboise.com, 208-401-6265. You have been listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. This is Daniel Bobinski with my co-host, Josh Gibbons. Josh, thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure.
And we are copyright 2022 by Shadow Trail Media. We'll catch you next week. Be sure to follow what's going on with the session. The session starts today down at the Capitol. Lots of cool news. Watch True Idaho News to see what's going on. We'll be in touch. Until then, be blessed.
You've been listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho. Get more true news by visiting trueidahonews.com. If you'd like to support this podcast, visit trueidahonews.com/support. Thanks for listening.